Hare Krishna, I welcome everyone to Bhakti Sangha Japa conference call. Today we are very fortunate to have Her Grace Kalasudha Mataji to enlighten us on topic Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita Madhya Leela, 25th chapter, 137th verse onwards. Hare Krishna Kalasudha Mataji, please accept my humble obeisances. Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Guru Maharaj ki jai. Thank you so much Mataji for joining and giving your valuable time and association this morning. We are very very fortunate to have you on the call. Please take over the call Mataji. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna Kalasudha Mataji, I see you on the call.
Oh, sorry. I was speaking on mute. I'm so sorry.
Oh, okay, Mataji, no worries.
Hare Krishna, we thank you very much, Vinita Gandharvika, for your warm welcome. And thank you all to the organizers, Priti Vilasini Mataji and everyone else, for the opportunity to serve all of you and to be in your association. Thank you so much. Hare Krishna. Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya, Jaya Nityananda. Jaya Dvaita Chandra, Jaya Gaura Bhaktavinda. Reading from Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, Madhya Leela, Chapter 25, entitled The Residents of Varanasi Become Vaishnavas. Reading from text 137 through 148. Text 137. Na sadhayati mam yogo. Na sankhyam dharma uddhava, na swadhyaya tapasyago, yatha bhaktir mamorjita. Translation, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, said, my dear Uddhava, neither through the Ashtanga Yoga, the mystic yoga system to control the senses, nor through impersonal monism or an analytical study of the absolute truth, nor through study of the Vedas, nor through austerities, charity or acceptance of sannyas can one satisfy me as much as by developing unalloyed devotional service unto me. This is a verse quotation from Srimad Bhagavatam, 11th canto, 14th chapter, 20th verse. Text 138, when the living entity is attracted by the material energy, which is separate from Krishna, he is overpowered by fear. Because he is separated from the Supreme Personality of Godhead by the material energy, his conception of life is reversed. In other words, instead of being the external servant, being the eternal servant of Krishna, he becomes Krishna's competitor. This is called viparyayo asmritihi. To nullify this mistake, one who is actually learned and advanced worships the Supreme Personality of Godhead as his spiritual master, worshipful deity and source of life. He thus worships the Lord by the process of unalloyed devotional service. This quotation is from Srimad Bhagavatam, 11th canto, 2nd chapter, 37th verse. Text 139, now hear from me what actual love of Godhead is. It is the prime object of life and is symptomized by bodily trembling, tears in the eyes, chanting and dancing. Text 140, pure devotees manifest spiritual bodily symptoms of ecstatic love simply by remembering and reminding others of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Hari, who takes away everything inauspicious from the devotee. This position is attained by rendering devotional service according to the regulative principles and then rising to the platform of spontaneous love. This is a quotation from Srimad Bhagavatam, 11th canto, 3rd chapter, 51st verse, text 141. When a person is actually advanced and takes pleasure in chanting the holy names of the Lord, who is very dear to him, he is agitated and loudly chants the holy name. He also laughs, cries, becomes agitated, and chants like a madman, not caring for outsiders. This is a quotation from Srimad Bhagavatam, 11th canto, 2nd chapter, 40th verse. Text 142, Srimad Bhagavatam gives the actual meaning of the Vedanta Sutra. The author of the Vedanta Sutra is Vyasadeva, and he himself has explained those aphorisms in the form of Srimad Bhagavatam. Text 143 and 144, the meaning of the Vedanta Sutra is present in Srimad Bhagavatam. The full purport of the Mahabharata is also there. The commentary of the Brahma Gayatri is also there and fully expanded with all Vedic knowledge. Srimad Bhagavatam is the Supreme Purana, and it was compiled by the Supreme Personality of Godhead in his incarnation as Vyasadeva. There are 12 cantos, 335 chapters, and 18,000 verses. This is a quotation from the Garuda Purana. Text 145, the essence of all Vedic literature and all histories has been collected in Srimad Bhagavatam. This is a quotation from the verse from Srimad Bhagavatam, from 1st canto, 3rd chapter, 41st verse. Text 146, Srimad Bhagavatam is accepted as the essence of all Vedic literature and Vedanta philosophy. Whoever tastes the transcendental mellow of Srimad Bhagavatam is never attracted to any other literature. Text 147. In the beginning of Srimad Bhagavatam, there is an explanation of the Brahma Gayatri mantra. The absolute truth indicates the relationship, and we meditate on him indicates the execution of devotional service and the ultimate goal of life. Text 148. Janmaryasya yato anbalavam itaratascharteshu abhigyasvarat tene brahmaridayadikavaye mushyantirasurayah tejo varimidam yaha vinimayo yatra trisharibo amrisha dhamna sena sada nirasya kuhakam satyam param dhimahi. The purport of Prabhupada is saying that this is the invocation, the opening invocation of Srimad Bhagavatam 1.1.1. The translation is, O my Lord, Sri Krishna, son of Vasudev, O all-pervading personality of Godhead, I offer my respectful obeisances unto you. I meditate upon Lord Sri Krishna because he is the absolute truth and the primeval cause of all causes of the creation, sustenance, and destruction of the manifested universes. He is directly and indirectly conscious of all manifestations, and he is independent because there is no other cause beyond him. It is he who only first imparted the Vedic knowledge unto the heart of Brahmaji, the original living being. By him, even the great sages and the demigods are placed into illusion, as one is bewildered by the illusory representations of water seen in fire, or land seen on water. Only because of him do the material universes temporarily manifested by the reactions of the three modes of nature appear to be factual, although they are unreal. I therefore meditate upon him, Lord Sri Krishna, who is eternally existent in the transcendental abode, which is forever free from the illusory representations of the material world. I meditate upon him, for he is the absolute truth. Omar Gyanati Mirantasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshuru Militamena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Nama Om Vishnu Palaya Krishna Prishthaya Bhutale Srimate Radhanath Swami Niti Name Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishthaya Bhutale Srimate Jaya Pataka Swami Niti Name Nama Jaya Palaya Jaya Kata Pradaya Gora Katha Dhamadaya Nagra Gramatari Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishthaya Bhutale Srimati Bhakti Vedanta Swami Niti Namine Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Deshakarini Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Srivastati Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna. Krishna Krishna Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. I read all these verses because I felt they were all in a flow. So please pardon me for reading all of these verses. But here, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he's quoting all these beautiful verses from the 11th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, some from the first canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. Mahaprabhu is quoting all these verses to establish Srimad Bhagavatam as the Amara Purana, as the topmost spiritual literature. So Srimad Bhagavatam, you know, Bhagavad Gita, we say is the song of God. Krishna himself is speaking the Bhagavad Gita. It definitely has a very, very special position because this Krishna is speaking about himself, about his own glories, about his own manifestations. Krishna is speaking directly that I am the Supreme Personality of Godhead. From me, everything comes. Aham sarvasya prabhu. So Krishna is making bold declarations in the Bhagavad Gita. And the Srimad Bhagavatam, the reason why Srimad Bhagavatam is considered a little higher than Bhagavad Gita itself is because of the nature of Srimad Bhagavatam. The topics that are covered in Srimad Bhagavatam. Srimad Bhagavatam, it actually entails pastimes of not only the Lord, the glories of not only the Lord, but the Lord's dearmost people who are the devotees of the Lord. The devotees of the Lord are extremely glorious, extremely glorious. You know, the verses quoted here are mostly from the 11th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, the ones that we read today. Here, Krishna is speaking himself to Uddhava. 11th canto is Krishna's conversations with Uddhava, mostly, primarily. And in those chapters, Krishna is giving to Uddhava the highest tenets of devotional service. He's explaining it very, very vividly, very vividly. So what is Ashtanga Yoga? What is Bhakti Yoga? How do we engage in Bhakti Yoga? Krishna is directly saying that only by the chanting of the holy names of the Lord in pure submission to the Lord, in loving reciprocation to the Lord, will we be able to reciprocate with the Lord's love and his mercy. He's very specifically saying it in these chapters. So that is the glory of the Srimad Bhagavatam. The Srimad Bhagavatam is the practical application of what Krishna has explained in the Bhagavad Gita. Krishna's final instructions to Arjuna is manmana bhavamadhaka madhyajimanmanaskuri. That offer your obeisances to me. Please bow down in front of me. Make me your Lord and Master. And Krishna finally says in the 18th chapter also, sarvadharman parityajya mam ekam sharanam vraja aham tvam sarva papebhyo moksha sharanam vraja. That just abandon all varieties of religion and simply surrender unto me. I will deliver you from all sinful reactions. Do not fear. Krishna is giving abhaya. He's giving us fearlessness. The process, how we can become fearless. Simply by seeking shelter of Krishna. And how to seek shelter of Krishna? That is being explained here in Srimad Bhagavatam. That is the beauty of how these scriptures are connected. Srila Prabhupada said, Bhagavad Gita is the ABC of spiritual life. It's at our school level. Srimad Bhagavatam is university level. And why is Chaitanya Charitamrita called the postgraduate level? It's because the kind of content that is there in Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita. Mahaprabhu is quoting verses from the Srimad Bhagavatam to establish the position of Srimad Bhagavatam and to convince others to accept the Krishna conscious tenets. And Mahaprabhu is diving even more deeper into the mellows of bhakti. He himself is relishing that mellow and he is giving an access to all of his associates to relish that particular mellow of Krishna prema. That is the mercy of Chaitanya Charitamrita. That is why Srila Prabhupada called Chaitanya Charitamrita to be a postgraduate study. You know, in postgraduate also, we do study basics. So unless our basics are clear, we cannot reach up to the postgraduate level. So we have to be clear with Bhagavad Gita's teachings. We have to be clear with the teachings of the Bhagavatam. And then we can truly relish Chaitanya Charitamrita. And what Mahaprabhu is actually trying to give us, what is the main, see, Mahaprabhu is collecting the gist of the Srimad Bhagavatam. Here, we just read a quotation from the Garuda Purana, where it is saying that the meaning of the Vedanta Sutra is presented in Srimad Bhagavatam. The full purport of the Mahabharata is also there in the Srimad Bhagavatam. The commentary of the Brahma Gayatri is there in the Srimad Bhagavatam. And fully expanded with all Vedic knowledge is available in Srimad Bhagavatam. And Srimad Bhagavatam is the supreme Purana, and it was compiled by the Supreme Personality of Godhead in His incarnation as Vyasadeva. There are 12 cantos, 335 chapters, and 18,000 verses in the Srimad Bhagavatam. This is a quotation from the Garuda Purana, establishing the authority of the Srimad Bhagavatam that we are reading. The Srimad Bhagavatam that we are reading in this particular Kali Yuga, that has 18,000 verses. The Srimad Bhagavatam that Brahma reads, that has many, many more verses. Because Srimad Bhagavatam is endless. Because what is, if we try to understand the simple aspect, that what is actually Srimad Bhagavatam? Which is the glories of the Lord, and is the glory of the Lord's devotees. That's what's explained in Srimad Bhagavatam. The many, many, many fold incarnations of the Supreme Personality of Godhead are explained in the Srimad Bhagavatam. So now let us see how Anantashesh, what is he doing? With his unlimited mouth? With his unlimited mouth, what is Anantashesh trying to do from time immemorial? Anantashesh is saying the glories of Krishna and the devotees' glories. Anantashesh is constantly chanting the glories of Krishna and the glories of Krishna's devotees. Until today, he's not able to finish. That is the Srimad Bhagavatam at Anantashesh's level. But his Srimad Bhagavatam is never ending. The Srimad Bhagavatam is something, that's why it is called Amala Purana. You know, it is a spotless Purana. Because not only the Lord, but even his dear most devotees are described here in the Srimad Bhagavatam. And here we read in text 137 that how Krishna is establishing through Uddhava that neither through Ashtanga Yoga nor through impersonal monism or an analytical study of the Absolute Truth, nor through the study of the Vedas, nor through austerity, charity, or acceptance of sannyas can one satisfy me. Krishna is being so direct. How much more direct can Krishna be? That Krishna is saying, nothing can satisfy me. You know, whether you are doing Ashtanga Yoga, whether you are doing, you know, monism, impersonal philosophy, even if you are taking sannyas, even if you are doing, you know, the study of the Vedas, the Vedanta Sutras, whatever you may be doing, nothing satisfies me. And what does satisfy Krishna? Developing unalloyed devotional service unto Krishna. That is the only thing that satisfies Krishna. Such clear instructions are there here. And Mahaprabhu is so expertly quoting these verses which are glorifying the tenets of devotional service. So that is the glory of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, to quote these particular verses which glorify devotional service. Then moving on to text 138, here Mahaprabhu is quoting from, again, from the 11th canto. And this particular chapter, chapter 2,
who's this?
Hare Krishna. So this particular chapter is, you know, how Shukadev Goswami is explaining the conversation between Maharaj Nimi and the nine, the Navayugendras. And there, this particular quotation is there in the second chapter of the 11th canto. It says, when the living entity is attracted by the material energy, which is separate from Krishna, he is overpowered by fear. Very important point. You see, Mahaprabhu is quoting this verse just to show what is the history of the Jivatmas? What happens really in the process after the Jivatma is separated from Krishna? What happens? That is what is explained here in this verse. That when the living entity is attracted by the material energy, which is separate from Krishna, they are overpowered by fear. Because they are separated from the Supreme Personality of Godhead by material energy, the conception of life is reversed. What does this mean? The conception of life being reversed means the conception of birth, death already comes. The suffering already comes. That is called reversion. Because in the spiritual world, when the living entity was with Krishna, there was no such reversion. There was nothing reversed. There was eternal life. But as soon as the living entity enters into the material plane, there is reverse. In the form of death, there is reverse. In other words, instead of being the eternal servant of Krishna, he becomes Krishna's competitor. How does the living entity become the competitor of Krishna? Because the living entity, in illusion, thinks that they can enjoy separately from Krishna. They want to enjoy separately from Krishna. They are in this illusion that, oh, Krishna is enjoying so much. Why should I not also enjoy? I also want to enjoy. So as soon as the living entity has this kind of a small desire that creeps in, Krishna is so kind. He says, my dear living entity, your desire to enjoy separate from me, for you to be the enjoyer, this is not the place. I will put you in a Disneyland. So Krishna sends us to this material world, Disneyland, where we go through the different roller coasters of life. And when we are going through the different roller coasters of life, one time, you know, after doing too many rides, what happens to our thing? After some time, we get tired. We feel dizzy. We feel nauseous. And that's when we say, okay, now it's enough. Enough of fun. Let's go home. Even little kids, after some time, they say that. Unless, you know, like, they're like super excited. But sometime or the other, if you keep a child in Disneyland for maybe 4 days, 5 days, take them in the same ride over and over again, they'll say, okay, what's next? Let's go home. What's next? You know, because everyone wants change. Everyone wants something different to experience. Now, similarly, the living entity, when we are put in this illusion, in this material world, after going through the different roller coasters of life, one time or the other, we will think that, what are we doing? Why are we going through the ups and downs of life like this? Are we really meant for suffering like this? Is this what we are really meant to do? So once we think in this way, then Krishna, he somehow or the other directs that living entity to some spiritual source. We meet devotees. We meet the spiritual master. Brahmanda bhumite kono bhagavanji guru krishna prasadikai bhakti lata beach. That by, you know, after wandering this Brahmanda many lifetimes, after a great long effort of time, a fortunate living entity comes in contact with the guru and the devotees. And by the mercy of guru and the devotees, they receive, you know, bhakti lata beach. You know, the seed of devotional service is planted in their heart. So question can be asked here that, you know, we say so much that, okay, when we go back home, back to Godhead, we will never fall down. Krishna assures that in the Bhagavad Gita. That once you reach to that supreme destination of mine, my supreme abode, you will never come back. So then how did we come back? Why did we fall down in the first place? And what is the guarantee that once we go back from here, that we will not fall down? Very interesting question. That can come in many sadhakas' minds, the minds of many of the sadhakas. Srila Prabhupada gave a very beautiful answer to this. Srila Prabhupada says that, yes, we did have a, you know, originally there is nothing called falling down from the spiritual world. Srila Prabhupada explains that. You know, in fact, it's also very deeply explained by Sri Srila Prabhupada, that is, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur. He also explains it very beautifully. He says that the living entity, when, you know, the way we fall down, it's not that the living entity literally actually also falls down, you know, because not a leaf, it is said, not a leaf from the spiritual world ever falls down, you know. So it is, you know, like we are dormant in the spiritual world, but we become active here in the material world. And once we, you know, go through the samsara cycle, we go through the cycle of birth, death, disease, old age, we keep going through that cycle over and over again through this roller coaster. And once we realize that, no, this is not the place meant for me, and then when we go back, we actually become active over there. It's just like a blob, Prabhupada. It's like a little blob that happens. We just come back in active seva to Krishna. So there's nothing really that, and Krishna has assured this time that, you know, and we have Srila Prabhupada's assurance that once we go back this time, we will be protected. We will be definitely protected. That is the faith that, you know, once, you know, at least by intelligence also we can say that those who are, you know, if we've burned our fingers, you know, once, it'll be foolish to burn our fingers the second time in the same way. We won't do that. So once we realize that, you know, this is what happens when we come down to this world, we were not going to commit that same mistake. And Krishna takes guarantee of that. Our spiritual masters, our Srila Prabhupada, is there to take guarantee of that. So that being said, you know, it is said here in text 138, in this quotation from Srimad Bhagavatam, it is said that how, instead of being the eternal servant of Krishna, a living entity becomes Krishna's competitor. This is called viparyayo asmritihi, because means we are thinking of something which is totally opposite of who actually we are. We are meant to be enjoyed by Krishna, but we are thinking opposite in our mind, and we want to become the enjoyers. That is opposite to our nature. Like if you go and tell the chili today, chili, it's enough of you being too spicy. From tomorrow, I want you to become sugary. I want you to taste sweet. Is that possible? No. In fact, if you taste the chili, which is not spicy, then, you know, we say, oh, this is not chili, and you just throw it away. Because you expect the chili to be spicy. That is the dharma of the chili, to be spicy. Similarly, our dharma, the living entity's dharma, the constitutional position of the living entity is to be Nityada of Krishna, to be the eternal servant of Krishna. An eternal servant doesn't mean that, you know, Krishna is coming with, you know, he's going to sit on the throne and we are like slaves and we are coming. No. You see, what is behind us, that is how we are with Krishna. This is how. How Krishna and his friends are enjoying in the waters of the Jamuna, that is exactly how we would be observing to Krishna and enjoy his transcendental divine association. So that is the mercy of Krishna. That is how we are servants of Krishna, out of love, not out of fear. So moving on to text 139, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is quoting, he's saying actually, in this verse, text 139, Mahaprabhu is directly saying that now hear from me what actual love of Godhead is. It is the prime object of life and it is symptomized by bodily trembling, tears in the eyes, chanting and dancing. So Mahaprabhu is giving the symptoms of a person who displays ecstatic, you know, has ecstatic symptoms. And then he's again quoting from the Srimad Bhagavatam 11th canto. He says, pure devotees manifest spiritual bodily symptoms of ecstatic love simply by remembering and reminding others of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Hari. We see many a time, Srila Prabhupada, you know, one time after the Rath Yatra in San Francisco in Nijalanaskuri, Srila Prabhupada said, he was in great ecstasy, you know. Srila Prabhupada, after the Rath Yatra, devotees could feel the bliss and the ecstasy that Srila Prabhupada was, you know, manifesting. And Srila Prabhupada had a bright smile on his face, you know, from year to year, Prabhupada was smiling. And Srila Prabhupada said, "Did you see? Did you see?" And devotee was saying, "What, Srila Prabhupada? What, what?" And Srila Prabhupada said, "Narad Muni and Gauranga Mahaprabhu and Nityananda Prabhu were dancing in front of the Rath Yatra. Did you see? Did you see?" That was the ecstasy of Srila Prabhupada. And those of us who've seen videos of Srila Prabhupada, you know, in the Acharya series or many of the footages of Srila Prabhupada, we can see that Srila Prabhupada is jumping up, you know, up and down, on top of the Rath Yatra cart. And when Srila Prabhupada dances like that, when he's jumping, you know, if you notice how much high Srila Prabhupada is actually going. And then let us consider what is the age of the body that Srila Prabhupada was in. When that time Rath Yatra was being held, Srila Prabhupada was 73 years old, 73 or 74 years old. The body of Srila Prabhupada was 73 or 74 years old. And Srila Prabhupada was jumping like a young boy. Defying all kinds of material laws, Srila Prabhupada did this. You know, Srila Prabhupada, he traveled and circled the globe 14 times in 11 years. Srila Prabhupada never, you know, in spite of his bodily conditions and the age of his body, Srila Prabhupada did not, you know, like when we go from here to India or when we come back from India to, you know, the US, we suffer something called as the jet lag. Where 2-3 days we are just, you know, dozed off and we sleep in the name of jet lag. There's no such thing for Srila Prabhupada. Even though his given age, that is the way that Srila Prabhupada was so much on the spiritual platform, always on the go. His routine never changed in spite of his traveling. His routine never changed. Wherever Srila Prabhupada would get off, he would continue his same standard routine. Same standard routine. His discipline never changed. That is Srila Prabhupada. That is the way that, you know, Srila Prabhupada is transcendental. Srila Prabhupada is completely transcendental, and that's the way he expressed his ecstasy. One time in a Pandal program in Mumbai, Srila Prabhupada, he was, you know, sitting with so many, you know, new Indians, new people were there in the Pandal program, and the devotees were, you know, Srila Prabhupada was so happy that such a big Pandal program had been organized. Srila Prabhupada was speaking, and suddenly while speaking, Srila Prabhupada's voice choked. He just choked up. But Srila Prabhupada was very careful that he would not show and display his ecstasy in public. Because people can misinterpret that and take it very lightly and also, you know, imitate it. That is a big, big, big dangerous thing which happened after the time of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. The Sahajiyas came up, imitating the fainting and the ecstatic symptoms of Sri Gauranga Mahaprabhu. There was an entire sampradaya who came out, upper sampradaya, who came out as the Sahajiyas. They would, you know, just stand Hari 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 and they would faint. They would cry and they would faint in ecstasy. But they were just imitating the Lord. They were actually not feeling such deep ecstatic emotions. It's not easy to express this kind of ecstatic symptoms. It's not an easy thing. So Srila Prabhupada was therefore very, very, very careful and mindful of where he is expressing his ecstatic symptoms. So when Srila Prabhupada got choked a little bit out of some ecstatic points that Srila Prabhupada was making, he immediately stopped speaking and controlled his tears, and he told the devotees to start chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. And when they were starting to chant the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, it is said that Srila Prabhupada was crying, and, you know, the tears, it is said to, you know, some devotees of Srila Prabhupada, disciples of Prabhupada, they have shared that they were sitting in the front and they could feel that the tears of Srila Prabhupada were shooting at them like arrows. You know, tears generally roll down. Srila Prabhupada's tears were like arrows coming at them, like showers of arrows coming at them. That is ecstatic symptom of a pure devotee, which is explained here. This position is attained by rendering devotional service according to the regulative principles and then rising to the platform of spontaneous love. So here, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is being very, very careful that we have to follow Vaidhi Sadhana Bhakti first. We have to do regulated devotional service first. We cannot just go on the altar and say, oh Krishna, you look so cute, so nice. You are my son, oh Krishna. That is artificial. And we are doing harm to ourselves if we are doing like that. We must treat the deity with respect, with awe and respect of ourselves. That is Vaidhi Sadhana Bhakti. And once we are doing Vaidhi Sadhana Bhakti, this spontaneous love to Krishna, which is called as Raganuga Bhakti, that will automatically come. It will spontaneously come. We don't have to artificially try for it. But what we have to actually do is follow the rules and regulations of devotional service. Very, very clearly, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is quoting this verse from Srimad Bhagavatam, where Krishna himself is saying this to Uddhava. That we must follow the rules and regulations of devotional service, not manufacture things from our minds. You know, many of the times, you know, we see devotees, oh, Kartik is coming up. This year we'll have the Purushottam month coming up. So they will manufacture their own ways of fasting. Oh, I will do only a juice fast. I will eat only fruits. I will do this. I will do that. Hari, just do what is there in the scriptures. We don't have to manufacture anything new. Let us just stick to what is there mentioned in by Sanatana Goswami. He has mentioned in the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, everything is mentioned very, very clearly. How we should be doing the different kinds of fasts. It is all mentioned. We should stick to the regulated devotional service. Not manufacture anything based on our whims and fancies. Should be very careful about that. That is what Krishna is saying, that even when we are, you know, we can say that, yes, I love Krishna so much. Yes, I love Krishna, but we are not at that platform that we can put our arms around Krishna, around the deity of Krishna, and say, hey, Krishna, you're my friend. No, we are not at that level. Yes, Krishna is our most beloved friend. So we approach him like this. Yes, my dearly beloved friend. This is how even Arjuna approached Krishna. And Arjuna said, Krishna, my dear Krishna, in the Bhagavad Gita, Arjuna says that we have shared even the same bed. I have lied down with you as a friend, oh my dear Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. What an offense I have done to you. But it is your magnanimity that you took me as your friend, your dearly beloved friend. But we must approach Krishna with awe and reverence. And then the spontaneous love will manifest at the right time, when we are actually ripe. You know, if you pluck a fruit which is not yet ripe and try to make it ripe artificially, the same fruit will not taste the same. Unless we allow the fruit to ripen while it is in the tree, that fruit tastes properly. It has got the proper and the right taste. So we must be very careful that we are not imitating the ecstatic symptoms that are mentioned here, but really follow the regulative principles properly, the regulations of the Vaidhi Sadhana Bhakti. We should follow that so that one day we know that we are aspiring to Raganuga Bhakti, to spontaneous love for Krishna. So when a person, Mahaprabhu is saying, quotation again from the 11th canto, that when a person is actually advanced and takes pleasure in chanting the holy names of the Lord who is very dear to him, he is agitated and loudly chants the holy name. He also laughs, cries, becomes agitated, and chants like a madman for outside, not caring for us. So we must chant the holy name. This is the instructions given by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, repeated here. The instructions from the Bhagavatam, repeated here by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. How important this is to chant the holy name. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. And then from text 142 onwards, the glories of the Srimad Bhagavatam are being described. But how the Srimad Bhagavatam even talks about that, you know, everything, every subject matter in this is talked about in the Srimad Bhagavatam. That is the glory of the Srimad Bhagavatam. That how it is said that even the glories of the Gayatri Mantra are being talked about here. And that is what we concluded by reading in text 148, the first verse of the Srimad Bhagavatam from the first canto, first chapter. It ends with the word Dhimahi. And Srila Prabhupada explains in the purport to that particular verse that this is from the Gayatri Mantra, that we are saying that Dhimahi means that we are meditating on the Supreme Personality of Godhead. This is how we need to seek shelter of Srimad Bhagavatam. We seek shelter of the devotees of Krishna who can explain the Srimad Bhagavatam teachings to us. And we remain fixed up in our sadhana, the current situation being given. This is a reward by Krishna for all of us to, you know, take advantage of this kind of association, this sangha that is provided to us. So we are so grateful to the organizers of this Bhakti Sangha conference call that through the medium of this call, at least we are getting some kind of sadhu sangha in this time when each and every one of us are in lockdown in our individual homes. But somehow Krishna is so merciful. He is so kind that he is giving us the association of devotees through this kind of a medium. So we must be very careful, not think that, oh yes, we are devotees, so nothing is going to happen to us. We can do what we want to do. No. We should be very careful that we are staying and abiding by the guidelines of safety that have been provided to us. So we should be very careful. Srila Prabhupada said, I remember once Srila Jayaprataka Maharaj, he wrote to Srila Prabhupada that when he was constructing Mayapur, Srila Prabhupada had given him the papers of Mayapur and said that I give you the kingdom of God and now you develop it. So Srila Jayaprataka Maharaj, you know, he has personally, with his own hands, he's built Mayapur, literally. So he had once told us that he knows every brick that is there in the Chakra building, in the Lotus building, in the Gada building, because he has laid each and every brick with his own hands, you know. So like that. So one time he wrote to Srila Prabhupada saying that a nail had pierced his lotus feet. And he was, you know, a little sick because of that and he could not walk for a couple of days. So Srila Prabhupada, he wrote back to Jayaprataka Maharaj saying that, my dear Jayaprataka, that you, this body of yours is no longer your property. During initiation, you have given this body of yours to me, so therefore it is my property. And it is your duty to take care of something that belongs to me. So please take care of your body. Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Srila Jayaprataka Swami Guru Maharaj ki jai. So each of us have this responsibility that this body of ours also is the means with which we are rendering devotional service. So it is our duty to keep the body healthy and fit as a service to Guru and Krishna, because this body does not belong to us. It is the property of Guru and Krishna. Therefore, please abide by the safety rules, wash your hands repeatedly, stay safe, and chant Hare Krishna, and remain fearless by seeking shelter at the lotus feet of Guru and Krishna. So at this time, we will take any questions, comments, or reflections, if anyone may have. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita ki jai. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, Mataji. Thank you so much for a beautiful class, Mataji.
Hare Krishna. Thank you.
Wait.
ஹரே கிருஷ்ணாஜி கலாசுதா மாதாஜி, கோட்டி கோட்டி தன்வத் பிரணாம். ஸ்ரீல பிரபுபாத் சொன்னவரு தேவகீக, ஹவு நைஸ்லி யூ எக்ஸ்பிளைன் திஸ் பாடி. வி ஹவ் சர்வ் வித் ஸ்ரீல பிரபுபாத் அண்ட் ஸ்ரீல குருதேவ் மெசேஜ் டு ஆல் ஓவர் த வேர்ல்ட். ஃபார் தேட் வி ஹவ் டு ஃபிட், வி ஹவ் டு வாக் எவ்ரி டே, பிகாஸ் ஈட்டிங் ஹெல்தி ஃபுட் அண்ட் நாட் வாக்கிங். ஸோ மாதாஜி, டுடே யூ கிவ் அ சச் அ நைஸ் மெசேஜ் தட் இஃப் வி ஆர் ஃபிட் தென் ஒன்லி வி வில் spread the Srila Prabhupada and Srila Gurudev message, and whatever our capacity we have to preach. Mataji, koti koti dhanyavad pranam to your seva. Srila Prabhupada, Srila Gurudev ki jai. Thank you Mataji.
Thank you so much dear Vrinda Gopika Mataji, very grateful to you. Thank you. Hare Krishna
Mataji, thank you for the very nice things. And I really like the roller coaster example. That was very nice. Thank you so much, Mataji.
Thank you so much for your lesson, Mataji. Thank you. Any other questions?
Hare Krishna, Mataji. Thank you for the class. I just had one question. If you could kind of tell me what it means to be dormant in the spiritual world before we came here.
Sure, very nice question, Tiffany Mataji. Dormant means what the word means in itself. We've seen dormant volcano, yeah, means that it's not active. It used to be an active volcano, but now due to the time, corrosion, whatever, it's no longer active, it's dormant. So similarly, it is explained that because, no leaf, even a leaf does not fall from the spiritual world, So in that sense, we have not fallen from the spiritual world. Then how come we are here, So the explanation given is that we are continuing to stay over there in the spiritual world in our dormant state, that's how it is explained, that it is, we are in our dormant state in the spiritual world, and when we, dormant means like in a sleeping state, and we are being put into an illusion that we are now here in this world and we are enjoying it. So illusion means maya, which is something which is not real, and it is temporary. So it is not real means not that everything does not exist. No, it is very much real, just like in a dream. We may see a tiger is chasing us, and we are running for our lives. Externally on the bed, we may be lying down, but we literally show emotions on the bed too, like, someone who is watching us, experiencing that dream, will see us, panicking, we'll be sweating all over. Many things like that happen when we are experiencing such dreams. It seems so real, So similarly, that is how this is explained, that the living entity can never fall down from the spiritual world. So they're put in a state of dream where we are experiencing this entire lifetimes after lifetimes in this material world. And then when we realize that, oh wow, this is a dream, we need to wake up to reality. Let's wake up and let's be engaged in the service of Guru and Krishna. That is, becoming active in the spiritual world. So I hope this answers your question.
Yes, it does. Thank you so very much, because it's actually kind of a question that I've wondered about for a very long time, how we got here, how we fell down, fell down, so to speak. So thank you for clearing that up for me. I truly appreciate it. Hare Krishna.
Thank you. Thank you very much, Hare Krishna. Any other questions? All right, if there's no more questions, can we end the session here?
Mataji, yes? Question. Can you please sing one stanza of Sisi Gopikita?
Yes, definitely.
Thank you, Radhe.
Hare Krishna. Any more questions? All right, so if there's no more questions, We'll sing one verse from the Sri Gopi Gita. Which one? Okay. Madhuraya Gira Valvu Vakyaya Buddha Mano Gaya Pushkare Kshana Vidhi Kare Riva Viramu Yati Adhara Sidhuna Syaya Yatvana. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, Shishi Gopi Gita Ki Jai, Edji Kala Sudamata Ki Jai.
Hare Krishna, thank you.
Thank you, Kala Sudamata Ji, for beautiful class and beautiful singing. If there are no more questions, we could end the call here by offering obeisances to Mataji and all the Vaishnavas. Vancha Kalpata Robhya Sri Kripa Sindhu, Pya Vajapatita Anam Pavani Pya Vaishnavya Bhyo Namo Nama, Ananta Koti Vaishnavrindu Ki Jai, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai, Har Grace Kala Sudamata Ji Ki Jai. Thank you so much, Mataji.
Thank you, Mataji.
Thank you so much. Ananta Koti Vaishnavrindu Ki Jai. Thank you all so much.